morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Today, Wednesday, 14th of February, also known as Ash Wednesday, and that's on the Christian calendar, and then Valentine's Day for many of you lovers out there. I am Lisa Gale, your moderator for today. My producer is Mr. Graham Vaughan. The number to call is 434-1790, and WhatsApp is 266-4862. Today, there are a couple things for us to reflect on. The main one for me is the parting words of the former Prime Minister, the Right Honourable Owen Seymour Arthur. He shared with us a number of his thoughts, but he also left a verse which I also reflect a lot on, those things which are good. Think on those things that are of good report, those things that are noteworthy, a lot of things he talked about. So I am a little winded simply because I was reading a little something there, and then I moved off and came back, and now I'm settling myself. But important for us to really note what we think about will impact what our actions are, and then our actions will impact a number of other things. I'm actually going to pull up the verse as well, but I also pull up that African proverb that talks about our thoughts impacting our actions, impacting our character, and impacting the things that we do. So I'll open the phone lines today, and I hope to hear from you what your issues are. I know we have a number of other issues, but as I said, my main issue today would have been the parting words of our former Prime Minister, the Honourable Owen Seymour Arthur. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Good morning, Miss Lisa. I'm a load on this radio.
Hi, good morning.
Open the phone line.
Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Thank you.
My call ain't going to be too long, though. My call is about some of us callers. I would like some of us to give other people a chance, saying that the other program no off the air. And those people that on the other side would like a chance. I had to turn off my radio yesterday, miss a lot of the program. To be honest, I don't like doing it.
So why you turned your radio off?
Because of certain people that was on.
Okay.
Wesley. One thing, he, Mark, and Arthur, them feel like the program concerned them. No, I get somebody to call. I have something to say every day. I just sit back and listen. And they can't listen to them all the time.
So why you don't pick up the phone and call if you think that other persons are dominating the airwaves?
I call. You don't know my voice. You see, you don't know my voice, but I call.
No, but I'm saying, you're saying that they're dominating, so I'm suggesting to you that if you want to also be in there, getting the competition.
I'd never be a domineer. No. I like different views, not one type of people all the time. But I'm going to take it more time. I'm going to let a call in. Okay, no one is going to be after me. Thank you very much, my dear.
Thank you, sir. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. You can turn your radio off. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, Ms. Gill.
Good morning, sir.
You could not start it out this morning with a better premise, because I, too, would like to associate myself with Owen Seymour Arthur. But I can say a few things about him, but I want to deal with violence. Miss Gill, I met Owen Seymour Arthur, the former Prime Minister, when he was campaigning his by-election. I was working at the cement plant then. And from that time until now, we are still associates. Now, Owen Seymour Arthur, I would say, has two characters. The character of Paul and the character of Saul. You understand?
Your radio is still giving me a little, so I think you should turn it down a bit
more. I was closely ready just now. Now, I'm away from it. Okay. Now, he has a character as Paul and Saul. Mm-hmm. But despite the fact of that, he was a genuine national. And I can say that to say this, that he looked after the country. Although he was Prime Minister and member of the Barbados Labour Party, he never let that overshadow what he believed was right. And let me go back to 1994 election, when the Democratic Labour Party collapsed. People would have known that when the Democratic Labour Party collapsed, there were members of Parliament that, because of calling the early election by Sir Lloyd, could not be, what you would say, qualified for pension. Remember that?
No, I don't.
He did. And he went to Parliament.
I know he called early, sorry, but I thought you meant the specificity in terms
no,
of
so, so
who
no,
didn't get and who
got. Once he more often made sure that those members, he went back to Parliament, legislated so that those people could have get their pension. Now, a real opposition leader would burn your enemy into the ground. The other thing he did, I don't know if you remember this, in 1999, when there were only two members in Parliament, Owen Seymour Arthur, hearing David Thompson, saying that the Democratic Labour Party was at the verge of collapse because they don't have any finance. That is where you get this $150,000 subvention to all political parties. He did that to save the Democratic Labour Party, because I believe in democracy. And the most important one today, that monument that when tourists come around, and I myself had to show some of them and explain to them that this is the monument of our first Prime Minister and in the Independence Square. Now, another political party who I would say is vindictive would never do such things because there's another Prime Minister. Another thing that I appreciate what he did is that reverse tax credit, he explained it to me and he keeps saying it. He said, call me by name. He said, listen, when I introduced the VAT, I recognized that there were still poor people who were not paying VAT, but direct, they were not paying income tax, but they were paying VAT. And that was the reason for the introduction of the reverse tax credit. Now, could you want a more humane person than that, who overlook being a leader of an opposition party, but yet make provisions that the Democratic Labour Party could have survived, make provisions that the country would see who was the first Prime Minister? This is what you call a man with humane position.
But don't we argue that the existing party is also a little too humane by all of the social programs that they continue?
No, they're coming for
with that. Respect to the bus fares. No. I'm talking about the ones that would have come in after 2008. And there are several of them which we argue, which I hear the argument, let me put it that way, where many persons argue that there are too many social programs and that the country cannot afford it. So if you're talking about the humanity of the Right Honorable Owen Seymour Arthur, you must also explain that there is a certain level of humanity in the programs that the existing policymakers are putting.
I think you missed my
so
point.
I'm clear on your point. Your point is that one party is vindictive and the other party is kind.
I'm showing you as where this is not about vote catching. This is a man who went on the other side.
What I would encourage you to do today.
Preparation.
What I would encourage you to do today is to reflect on the life you want to reflect of Mr. Owen Seymour Arthur. Put it that way. Let us hear of the good things. Don't use any comparisons at this point. That's what I'm saying. So just make your point. You don't have to disparage anything or anyone else, but make your point in its respect, because he stands tall, even although he's a short man.
But that's what
we're going to reflect on today. All of those good policies and practices that he would have.
I want this country to understand that he went as far as to put up that monument that the younger generation could understand who Walton Barrett was. What I am confused about today, and I don't know if you know this, our first Prime Minister residence, and I am calling on Mayor Amor Martley to follow the road of Owen Seymour Arthur in a certain respect. Do you believe that Culloden Farm should be up there in shambles?
It should not be.
And you had, that's why I am very, look, the things about this country is people masquerade and claim, oh, they are the DLP. I was associated with them too.
But make your point, though. You said you would want the current leader of the opposition, Ms. Mia Motley, the Honorable Mia Motley, too.
As soon as she get into office, make that a priority.
Okay.
The same way we have that building up in the garrison pertaining to the first president of Waiters. I never went up there.
George Washington? Oh, you should really go. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah. Well, I want Culloden Farm to be beautiful. I want Culloden Farm to bring back life, to show their all independent life, who were our first prime minister, the first official resident of our first prime minister. How could you brag about 55 years of independence and yet the first official resident of Beso and Shambles? Could you tell me that's respect to the country?
Do you have anything else to add to these good accolades that you brought?
No.
Yes.
I tell you, I had two.
Okay.
Now, let me deal with violence this morning. Everybody blame their parents. They blame their children. Now, let me ask you one simple question. Let me deal with parents. Now, if you were a parent and you'd say you was working at Baikor, and Baikor unfairly sent you home, when you get home to your children that dependent on you, how would you explain to them that you're not working any longer? You were dismissed unfairly. It depends
on the age of the child and the level of information that you can share. Because there's some, you know, there's some instances where a child may be too young to appreciate the information. Yes.
Yeah. But when children grow up and understand that their children, that their parents were unfair, you think that the management of Baikor could come wrong that parent house for that child to know? Huh? There's a violent start, you know. It started in the home. But today, over 3,000 people went home. What you think going to be the behavior of the children of that home?
You're inferring quite a bit. You're making some inferences there.
I tell you, the seriousness of the decay of the moral standards where politicians can take advantage of people. I hope that the people in this country can stand up, and when you see them coming at your door, do the right thing. Because this is unfair to society. You cannot sit down and take advantage of people and then masquerade and telling people that you come out of a vote. Huh? Look.
You have anything else to add?
I'm going to finish here now on Peter Scott. You hear about Peter Scott?
Yes.
Now, Peter Scott, we're at rural development like I do. Mm-hmm. And there was another lady named Glenda Watson who worked at rural development like I do. Both of them passed away under stress. How could you tell a man that you sending him to go to court to get justice? Justice delayed is justice denied.
Denied. That is your partner's shot.
And let me tell you that lady Glenda Watson, I would deal with Peter Scott had another thing. That lady Glenda Watson cried on my shoulder, God got me to judge. When her salary was reduced, and you know the hurtful part about it, she had a child studying medicine in Cuba.
I'm hearing you make that inference, and I'm going to take you back to the 8% cut. When so many civil servants would have lost some monies that they depended on, whether the money was going towards a mortgage, it was paying for the car, whether it was paying for a child's, you know, medical school, whatever. It could very well have been the school meals and all the other small attendant auxiliary functions that monies go towards. And I didn't hear people make the inference that the 8% cut led to violence in the society. So that's just a question to you. But we're going to wrap that one up. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Stop listening to your radio. You're on the air.
We're going to wrap that one up.
This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
I normally don't respond to a caller like that because they call to compliment some people. Mm-hmm. But hearing him, every time I hear him, I mean, these people with this political thing, we need to look at our country first. He's trying to insinuate that the because of the persons who were sent home is what causing the violence in school.
He didn't specify who we shouldn't listen to.
Whose administration was the people's at home and the Democratic Labour Party. We got this party and we mind them can't do nothing wrong. We are just going to hear those kind of things because they don't believe that is the cause of it. This thing was going up from everything. If you look at a young lady taking the school, I don't say young lady, a girl carrying the school, her daughter or son, mm-hmm. her skirt is 6 or 8 inches long. She's about 5 feet tall or 4 feet tall. Watch what's going to happen. This child is walking next to her. Mommy, when he looks up, what does he see? All these things we thinking about the condition under which we keep our kids. I remember telling a young lady.
A short skirt leads to violence? I don't understand.
No. Listen to what I'm saying. We are not doing the things we're supposed to do correctly. I'm giving you an example. Take, for instance, you tell a parent that your son or your daughter going into the pool with the guy smoking marijuana or whatever, pay attention to him. He might very be involved. Not my son, but then when he gets in a problem, it's too late.
So that's a certain level of denial then.
Because you're going to tell me, a lot of us live in denial. A lot of us don't believe what our family, our neighbors, and people tell us about our children. And that is why it's so difficult now to tell children anything. You can't tell a young boy that your pants are, pull your pants, buddy. He curse you. And he can curse your mother and your father. You know them. Mm. You understand? I didn't call about that, though. But because of the statement he made, trying to give one the impression that the crime in these children is cool is because X amount of people were sent home during whatever period it is. And just in the second call, I think it was, a lot of us need to be sit back and read the mail. Question or statement. Let me thank MCW, Mr. Marshall, for there at the depot, at the, that's Richmond Depot. Many a time I call him and inform him of the things I see on the road, and he normally comes to my assistance over there in the Hagger Hall, Belgully, and that immediate area, and the Ivy and so on. Okay. I spoke to him about the area, and he accompanied me by assistance and paid in that whole area, right now through the Ivy and the Belgully and those roads surrounding.
Very good job done.
Growing and so on.
Yes.
They did a fantastic job. They're marking the road, including Bracknell Hill.
I also heard some of these
roads. So I want to compliment them and their staff and say thank you.
What's his name? Let me call Mr. Marshall.
At Richmond there, and thanks again for them. I think that a lot of people don't know that if you're on the point don't fix the work in the point, the roads in the point.
Mm.
Richmond Depot fixed up there. The point fixed to somewhere else. So they think the government needs to change that. If you let the people in that area fix it instead of the point MDW in Richmond, having to come all up there and fix these things. But again, let me compliment them and wish them the best for the little bit of whatever to do with a lot to do. They're doing a fantastic job. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good morning, Dr. Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Hello. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
Good. My name is Wesley, and I would have heard my name called with your first caller.
I did hear a Wesley. I'm not sure what the last name was. You want to give us your last name?
I know that's the last name. Right? The last name, I'm sure you would be happy if you get that last name, you know. Mm-hmm. I'd be happy to give it to you, too.
Okay.
Good. Anyhow, look, sometimes, right, people like me that call the program regular decide that sometimes to sit out a particular program. I didn't really plan to sit out this morning, right? But when I hear the first caller, I have so much to say, I end up saying nothing.
He didn't speak long, and it
but
wasn't
he,
so much
to say. That's what I'm
trying
to tell you. He had so much to say about the first call, about the regular callers, and still end up saying nothing. He had a perfect opportunity, right, to get up and talk to the soapbox and then get back down off it.
So let me hear you defend yourself. Don't worry about
it. No,
let me hear you defend yourself.
I really am going to defend myself. This is what I can say to people that believe, that believe. And you could carry out a survey. Dennis Johnson, if he is your producer today, you can ask him to
No, he's not your producer today.
Well, who?
Mr. Graham Vaughn is our producer.
Carol is a good one to guide you through this one. Because I noticed that I listened to VOB 24/7.
Oh, thank you.
As often as I could, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say to say to you, all of these jokers that talk about the first, the regular callers, and they got the red, the show a hog and all that, and they can't get in. Do me one favor, Lisa. Go through your
call log
producer, right? Mm-hmm. Go through your producer and ask for permission to do a giveaway. To do a giveaway. You even got to say what you're giving away, right? You could give away two rats or something, right? Or two dead cats.
Not nice.
All you got to do is say you can do a giveaway at 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you would see, or you would get to realize that one single regular caller would not be able to get through. All of these people that say that them can't get through and all that, it happened every morning on Carol Roberts' show. Then she got to give away a topic from Line or Digital.
You don't get in.
not me. I don't try to. Okay? Because that's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Understood.
I noticed all of these people, even in the regular programming, then Larry Mears or Cupid Gill would decide to do a little giveaway. These people can't get in. The regular callers can't get in. And we listen to the radio 24/7. I really want to talk today about a little encounter.
I thought you just said you weren't calling, you were sitting out.
No, I just put that. But not today.
Okay.
I had it to do, and I said I was going to do it today, but then I decided against it. And I'm not going to do it at all.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
This is just, and I'm not going to dive too far into it, about a little encounter I had with a principal of a school, mm-hmm. right, in the Black Rock District.
Okay.
And I decide not to do it ever, because it would not be embarrassing the principal. It would be also showing up.
You'd be breaching confidentiality.
No. It's not confidential about it at all.
Okay.
Because the way how the principal left me, I say, you know something, I really going to express my thing on the radio to get comment on it. But like I said,
not today.
I ain't going to do it.
I ain't going to do it.
Right?
Consider all of the repercussions.
You still got to think about the plan.
Yes.
Anyway,
agreed.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. I'd make a comment here as it relates to regular callers. And while we do have persons who are tired hearing the regular callers are what you call loyal customers. And if they don't call the program, then brass tacks is compromised. So what I'd encourage those persons who don't want to hear the same callers, pick the phone up and call brass tacks. The number is 434-1790. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, my love. I want to apologize. The last time I spoke with you, my phone went off. One of my caller's phone is giving problems.
Okay.
Just want you to know I didn't put the phone down. It just disconnected from you. Hope you have a beautiful Valentine's Day today.
Okay.
I am not going to talk about politics or politicians and parties. I want to talk about children and all the problems that we're having with the young people. I received information today on a video. The problems are not only in the secondary schools, they're also in the primary schools, starting from infants. And I'm going to be honest with you, as a mother and a grandmother, I listened to that video, and I'm not going to be ashamed to tell you that I was crying. I did not want to believe what I was listening to. And I'm appealing to all Barbadians. Please, instead of putting down parents, criticizing parents and the children, we have to get into some serious praying and fasting.
I can endorse that for sure. Endorse that for sure.
We have to.
Our issues are grave.
It is.
And we do have to keep praying, those of us who believe in God and have a relationship with God. And those of us who can do other things outside of spirituality, do what you can. But as I said on Monday, play your part wherever you can, because this is our nation. These children are our future leaders.
Yes.
They are our future daughters and sons-in-law.
Yes.
And we need to really also impact in a positive way where we can.
Yes.
So the Christian community, they can pray, they can fast, they can set examples, etc.
We have to.
And then others can play their part.
We have to work with the parents. We have to help these kids. And you know something? There are people that are, some are very privileged and privileged. There are people here that have abundance. And we don't know why a lot of these kids behave the way they behave. We don't know what type of homes or environments they come from. We don't know their frustrations. We don't know their anger inside. We don't know their lack. We don't know what they're going through. We don't know why they're rebelling, why they're behaving like this, what they're seeing in their homes, whatever is going on. And it matters not. I'm a mother. I lived 12 years in the area of Silver Hill. And I was Nana to every little child and every person. Everything is Nana, Nana, Nana. I remember taking someone's baby at 6 weeks old. A mother left his baby at me, and it ended up with me for 2 years. And I cared for that baby and loved that baby as if that baby was part of us. And I want more people to get involved with their communities and to find out how are some people making it. We just can't walk into our houses, and because we have abundance, and we might have, and not even know if our neighbors are hungry or if they have anything. We have to share love. Today is Valentine's Day. Today is, they call it the love day, the day of love. And I'm begging Barbadians, please start loving your neighbors more. Start paying attention to people around you, and try to communicate and find out where the lack is, and share your love. God bless you, Lisa.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your input, and I'm sure there are members of the Christian community who are praying for Barbados. And as you said, we all have to play our part. They're varying players in this puzzle. And I would encourage teachers, parents, you know, I mean, everybody has a role to play, and we really need to see which role we can play. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. In fact, I want to share a comment on what the former Prime Minister, Mr. Arthur, said yesterday. He talked about the compulsory youth service. And I would actually like us to reflect on what some of those words, and we will listen to his piece of his presentation from yesterday.
On the youth.
I want to use the benefit of this, my little speech in this parliament, to say that parenting has been one of those strong values, and that the fathers of Barbados are failing this country, and that when I see people at the scene of crimes, I see only single mothers weeping for their children, and we need to have a serious intervention to enable our social services to assist single mothers with sons at risk to be able to deal with their needs in a strong and proactive way. And I also speak to the fathers, because I am a father with a child at school. And my daughter could not behave the way that I see children behaving at our secondary schools. But I know that just making fathers paid child support is not enough. I think we need now proactively to help single mothers who need counseling, who need help with problem sons, and whose fathers are not there. We have to find a program now to our social system to help them to help us. And I would like these estimates to address these two matters, because we can't leave these estimates ignoring. Not only the economy is in trouble, but the society is in trouble. And if it is in trouble, the duty of a parliament, Madam Deputy Speaker, is to rescue it. Madam Deputy Speaker, I have listened very carefully to the debates, heard the leader of the opposition, and I just want to make a contribution. And I know often I'm accused of being too critical of the leader of the opposition, but I agree with her when she says that the government must seek a mandate. But it also has to be the case that if the Barbados Labour Party wants to be the government of Barbados, it must seek a mandate too. And it will have, I think, to let us know what is in its contemplation in the light of these dire social and economic situations that I have just described, and that it is common knowledge. Madam Deputy Speaker, if you will allow me to speak to my former colleagues, do not let yourself be intimidated by those who will cause you to accept false propaganda, that things like privatization and other things cause you a government. The member for St. James Central, my very good friend, he ran a loss in 2008 when privatization was not an issue, and he ran a win in 2013 when it was. My good friend, the member for St. Michael East, he ran in 2008 and lost when it was not an issue, and he ran and won in 2013 when it was. The same thing for my friend from the city of Bridgetown. And I must say, the member for St. George, their party lost in 2008 when privatization was not an issue in St. George, but they won in St. George so when it was an issue. And I want to say to them that this is an important aspect of the heritage of the Barbados Labour Party, from Grantley Adams through to Tom Adams, through to Bernard St. John, and perhaps if they might not want to include me. We're just dealing with major economic matters, no matter how controversial they might be. It's part of the heritage of the Barbados Labour Party. And I think we want them to feel that in this, they can join the great debate that is necessary in the knowledge that great causes, as Mali said, were never won, are never won by doubtful men. And that the next election be a great, great, great conversation about the future of the land. And that those who serve with me in cabinet knew that I used to tell members of my cabinet, if we have a problem, let us face it and let us fix it. And I want to say, as I come to the close of this address to the House, that what is before Barbados, Deputy Speaker, is nothing that Barbados cannot cope with. What is before us, Madam Deputy Speaker, is the greatest challenge that we have ever faced, but that we must not fail Barbados. We have a good society where the greatest part of our social capital is that the people of this country want the country to succeed, no matter who the government of Barbados is. And it is what sustained me in 14 years of leadership of this country, that I was buoyed up on the wings, not just of pride, but industry, in the knowledge that the people of this country want the country to succeed. And that is what we now have to tap into. We must not fail Barbados. I want to say, as I leave Parliament for the last time, Madam Deputy Speaker, because this will be my last speech ever in the House of Assembly, that I do not believe that the next Parliament will have to preside over the greatest challenges that has ever been faced by a Parliament in this country, the greatest ever. They will have to make the greatest adjustments ever. They will have to do it with a certainty in their confidence that this generation of parliamentarians are no less equal to national development and the challenges therefrom than any other previous generations of parliamentarians. And I leave you for the last thing with this exhortation. It has to come as it should come from the book of Philippians. Now, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think of these things. Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the people of St. Peter who have given me this historic opportunity to speak in their name. I want to thank all of those who I have worked with in 34 years as a member of Parliament and in various capacities for the indulgences and for their support. I want to thank the speakers of this House for the generosity that they have shown me and enabling me to speak. I want to thank these so many public servants who have in so many different ways a member of the civil society that would have enabled me to have a political career in this country spanning almost 35 years, including my years in the Senate. I want to thank them as they leave. And as they leave, I give this House the assurance that I leave fulfilled, feeling that I have done my duty to my people as God has given me the light to see that duty.
some very sobering words from our former Prime Minister as we reflect on yesterday's speech, a number of words for our single mothers, for fathers, a little bit for the existing legislators, about the economy, talks about our ability to handle the issues. I thought it was a very interesting speech, and I myself started to reflect on my life, my knowledge of Mr. Arthur, how I met him, how we came to have varying conversations. I remember when I first went to the University of the West Indies. He was the Prime Minister at the time, and then I had my first job, and I remember when we debated the value-added tax in 97. That was a very special time for me because it was at that point that I had already known I wanted to do economics, but at that time, the discussion and the debate and the involvement of civil society and the private sector, it was a whole, you know, even at that time, the Chamber of Commerce, from those very early days, would have brought all of its members together to discuss the value-added tax and the potential implications. And I remember Mr. Charles Tibbetts, a very robust tax expert, sharing, having conversations back and forth. And then there were the elections in 99. I remember I thought, so early, so soon? But then the Barbados Labour Party had a very convincing victory. I reflected on that last night, and then I reflected again on when I joined. I mean, and it had to do with the trade policy scenario when Barbados was negotiating in varying international fora and the role that the Prime Minister had. And then when there was the CSME, when Barbados played a critical role to the point that Barbados still holds the seat of the head of the CSME, the representative for the region. Barbados holds that seat. The importance of regional integration, the role that Mr. Arthur talked about, and the impact, and how I would see him in the supermarket, and I would see him or hear about him at a rum shop more so than anything else. He had, he was a man of the people, etc. And I just thought about a lot of his life, and I really want us to, share your thoughts today, share what your experiences were. You can share. You can also share if you want to talk about the youth, whatever matters that come before you. But I really was reflecting today on the role that Mr. Arthur, the impact it had on me and on my professional career. And then I went on to the chamber, and I was able to invite him to speak in, I think, on three occasions. He came, two of them at the time as leader of the opposition, and then one just to share. It was my last AGM. He would have addressed us on varying matters in relation to international business, etc. So I have a lot of respect for Mr. Arthur and his role, and he's impacted on my professional career, and that's why I sit today not feeling a little somber to some extent, but admiring the role that he played in Barbadian, not just Barbadian politics, but Barbadian economics and Barbadian social life, and etc. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning, ma'am. First of all, happy Valentine's to you and yours and your family and everybody at StarCom.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. I made this very short because I'm a little under the weather. The first call you had, I am in total agreement with him. I remember when Bastard first started out. It's supposed to be a balance.
Could you kindly turn your radio down a bit because it is reflecting?
Okay, no problem. Sorry about that. I remember when Bastard first started out. It's supposed to be a balance of both sides.
Sides?
Not one
sides.
Side.
Sides as in?
Pardon?
Sides. Could you expand on that?
Yes, sides. Both sides. Not one side and not the next side.
Oh, opinions. Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. You understand? Both sides. Both B or D. It doesn't matter. Everybody has an entitlement to their opinion because it's a talk show where the moderators are there to moderate, to make sure that whatever is said, it will not be liable to the radio station. And nobody would make themselves look bad in either way, no matter which side of the fence it is. That is what I understand it to be. Right? Mm-hmm. But when certain people or majority of a particular set of people seem to be, and I'm very careful in what I'm saying, because I want to be fair, seem to be allowed to come and display their... You can come and say what you want, but if you get too, let me use this word, too overzealous in what you are saying, and you overstep boundaries, and you're not pulled back with caution, and you are allowed to continue to go beyond those boundaries, then you have a problem occurring. So it's quite obvious that when you get, as you what people say, you give an inch, some people take a mile. And quite frankly, that's what they continue to do. The same guy, the wrestling chap that continues to talk a lot of rhetoric and doesn't come with viable or equitable solutions, a lot of them, you know, instead of ponging and praying down on a party, right, that built this country, you understand? Instead of putting them down, right, instead of being complaining all the time, as I said once on the other radio station, right, instead of being, we can be either or, we can be either part of the solution, part of the problem, or just part of the landscape. So you have to make up your mind which one you are. A famous actor said that, and that always stayed with me. You know, you have to be balanced in everything you do, everything you say.
So you want more callers. I thought that you would have a caller who believes in A and a caller who believes in B, and the moderator listens to them, and then another caller believes in C, and you hear another caller from A and another caller from B.
Correct.
You're saying that doesn't obtain at this point?
Apparently, a lot of it doesn't, you know? I mean, I'm not saying that the moderator, whoever is moderating...
No, I heard you, clearly. I'm not defending a moderator. I'm just asking you if, from your observation of the program, mm-hmm. you're not getting the zealous A and the zealous B?
Especially yesterday, no. To be honest with you, my dear lady, especially yesterday. Yesterday was ridiculous. That is why the first caller that you had this morning had to say, because those callers, especially the chap that called and dropped the remark, because you're always full of remarks, right? And I mean, I must praise you. You don't let them get, when you are on, you call, I like your style. I always say I like your style. You don't let them get away with it. You know what I mean? And you let them, you when you think that it's getting to a head, you cut them short and you say if that's all you have to add or whatever. And I like that there. Because that's how you're going to handle them. Because if you can't come on a program, if you have something, a good constructive criticism to render, whether you're DLP or BLP, you understand? And you can't come on a talk show that's been provided, a medium that's been provided for both party bipartisans to offer viable solutions that will help pull Barbados out of the little rut, you know, and you can come and just drop all kind of remarks on the handed remarks and then place a joke on top of it and think it's cool, then you do the right thing, you know, you cut them and let's move on. You got the callers back up. Time for this. So
you have any to add in relation to whether it is, not. I heard your point. Your point is well made. As it relates to the callers, etc. Mm-hmm. But you have any comment to make on the former prime minister? You
of
have
course,
any comment to make
course,
on youth
on
violence?
First of all, yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do. First of all, Owen Arthur, you know what I mean? The speech he made yesterday was very touching. And I must commend him right here and now, right? That what he said, I hope that my side of the fence, right, of the Democratic Labour Party, we would take, because in everything...
Oh, you have a bias.
No, I'm not a bias. No, I don't deny who I am. I am one of the members, not a party for an actual member of the Democratic Labour Party.
Okay.
I am a young dame.
So is it that you don't like to hear persons from the opposition talking about your party?
No. You did not hear me say that at all.
I'm just clarifying.
Oh, no, no, no problem with clarifying. You would never hear me say that. I'm way smarter than that. I would never say that, right? I don't like to hear foolishness. If you're coming with something that is of help.
I heard you. Right, I heard what you said on the callers. Let us move on from that discussion. Right. I was asking you about what your thoughts are on Mr. Arthur.
Right, right, right. No, I was just answering to what you just asked me about bias and all that. Good. Mm-hmm. Right, as I was saying about Owen Arthur, right, I was commending him on what he said. And I think that we really need to take some of what he said and put it into action. You know, the country needs to be helped. And if there are different areas, of course, I don't fully agree about the IMF, but there are different options. Okay. We have to look at all the options. Okay. Options that will save this country money. Options that will help pull this country out of the stump that it's in. You know, so I mean, what he said yesterday, I would really hope, right, that the members of the Democratic Labour Party take it under advisement. Mm-hmm. And it was well put. He was very articulate. And what he said, even to his own members of the Barbados Labour Party, and I would hope that Mia Morley takes him seriously, because He ran the party by his own way well, and he led well. And to be honest, I would say this in a very balanced manner. I think that if it was him that was running back in this election, the way, to be quite frank, how Mayor Motley is going about this, he would not have gone about it that way.
Okay.
Right? I think so. That's my opinion. I just want to add also, before I go, I want to congratulate Minister Richard Seely on his point made and on the good, brilliant job he's doing in the tourism industry.
Okay.
Well done. And I can only hope that once the Democratic Labour Party is returned to power, that he will continue and do even more and go even further.
Okay.
Okay, I thank you very much. I have a blessed day.
Thank you, sir. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the ear? Good morning.
Yes. Good morning. How are you?
Well, thanks.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment on this school violence. I was intimately involved in the Barbados Union of Teachers back in the 1970s. Mm-hmm. And we had seen this increase in the restlessness of the children.
In the 1970s?
And we started to address it, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah. But somehow, what really happened was that these same calling programs were used to beat up the teaching profession. And every time we mentioned negativity in the system, we were told that we were not like the older teachers. We were told that we had no interest in the children. And every single thing that was going wrong with the education system, discipline, lack of proper curriculum development, the way teachers were treated professionally, all of those things were blamed on the teaching profession. So we had a sustained attack on one profession, blaming it for all the ills in the society. What you are witnessing today will be children of children who watch teachers being beaten up. That is the problem. So therefore, their parents who witnessed the assault on the profession never instilled in them the importance of respecting the school plant or the teacher. Coupled with that, we have an education system. Once again, when we question the use of the 11 plus, and we were asking the powers that be to look at things like continuous assessment, to put more emphasis on things other than English, arithmetic, and comprehension. Because that is basically what the 11 plus is all about. Many Barbadians do not know that their children go in an exam room, and some of them, believe it or not, might not be able to spell their names. But yet, you will hear that they're passed for.